Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 20th, 2012.
I'd like to begin this morning in Exodus chapter 16, read a rather lengthy passage. Exodus chapter 16, we'll read verses 1 through 36. Familiar passage, probably to most people, but it's good for us. I wanted to read the entire thing. We won't be able to deal with all the details here. There are a lot of different lessons to be learned in this passage, but I would like for us to be reminded as we simply read the Word of God, because it is life, it is power to transform us. And so let's just open our ears this morning and our hearts and our minds to what the Spirit would say to us as the people of God. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. And they, that is the children of Israel, journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, once again, he wants us to know something. "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Which, by the way, in the Hebrew is manna. "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer," which is about a half a gallon, by the way, "for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers, for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until the morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to keep for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to keep for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Again, the portion was about a half of a gallon in our measurements today. There are a number of very good lessons here for us to learn from this passage. But this morning I want to focus simply on what the manna represents for us today. It's good to read about the miracles that God has done for others in the past. But what we need to ask ourselves, because when we read the account and we see the unbelief of some of the people of Israel and how God plainly reveals himself to them, and yet they still ignore him, and yet God's word always proves itself true. Many times we shake our heads and we laugh and we say, "Oh, what a foolish people." But what I want us to be honest with ourselves today is, number one, has God given us such a glorious miracle like that miracle that he gave the children of Israel? And what is our attitude toward that miracle? How do we respond? Do we ignore his instruction? Do we lightly esteem the miracle that he gives us? Let's try to put the miracle in the context of the experience of the children of Israel so we can understand how it applies to us a little better. God miraculously and with a mighty hand had delivered the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. They were miserable in their slavery because the Pharaoh purposely made them miserable. And they complained to God and to their leaders about their slavery. And then God sent 10 miracle judgments to judge the Egyptians in order to free them, to free Israel from their slavery. He brought them to the Red Sea, miraculously opened it up that they might walk on dry ground, and then caused that Red Sea to swallow up again the powerful army of the Pharaoh. These people that we just read about saw all of those miracles. They experienced all of those miracles and the faithfulness of God, and that it was God, not Moses. Moses says, "Who are we? This wasn't my idea. This was God. He called me." So when you complain about being led out of Egypt, you're complaining against the one who brought you out, and that's Jehovah. They saw all of these miracles. And now After about a month and a half of travel, the grain that they had brought with them out of Egypt had run out. Bread was the main staple of their diet. So now they began to think, okay, we're going to die now because we can't raise grain. We'll die before, even if we'd stopped and planted it by now, we'd die before the harvest came. We're going to die. So they began to complain against Moses. They began to complain against God. God heard their complaints. Saints, God hears our unbelief. And it hurts him. It causes him to grieve for his people. How quickly God's people forget the past faithfulness of God in our life. But despite their unbelief, this is the mercy and the grace of God. Despite their unbelief and their complaining and their false accusations against Moses and against God himself, God supplies what they need to be able to live from day to day. I want us to try to get the scope of the miracle. The manna was not naturally produced in nature. Not before, not after. It doesn't exist. There are some plants and trees and things that some people have called manna because it has some similar substances. But the miracle that we see here was something that is not replicated in nature. This was a daily miracle that God gave them every day for 6 days and then enough on the sixth day for the seventh day. For 40 years, day after day, he gave them this miracle. Can you try to picture that? It's hard for us in this country of abundance and excess that we have and enjoy. It's hard to imagine the realities of starvation. But put yourself in their position for a moment. 1 to 3 million people in the wilderness with no supplies. Not a Costco nearby. I'm spoiled rotten. I live in a 4 mile circle that my life pretty much revolves around. I've got a Costco. Come to church, and that's pretty much it. I'm happy. But what would it be if you didn't have a Safeway, a King Super, down the street just to walk down? What if you had to not only worry about you and your family to feed, but you had 3 million mouths to feed? So when you read that passage now, can you understand there was some real concern? Also, as a part of that equation is they had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. So the need was real. It wasn't imaginary. But they had forgot in the reality of their need, they had forgot the reality of their God. And saints, many times we do the same thing. There was no refrigeration. There was no store to run to. But God daily gave this miracle. Have we been given that kind of miracle? Have we been given something similar? The Bible tells us we have. The Bible tells us not only was the manna provided for the children of Israel to supply their very physical need in that moment, the Bible tells us that the manna was given as a symbol of something that was far greater and far more lasting for us today. There's actually two aspects to the symbolism, the type of manna. The first one being that of Jesus Christ. We're not going to consider that this morning. But Jesus Christ, in John chapter 6, he describes himself as the bread of life. He said, the children of Israel fed on manna, but I am the bread that has come down from heaven. And whoever eats of me will have eternal life. He is the source. Just like they needed that manna to live every day, Jesus says, if you want to live forever, you must partake of the life that I have. And that life was broken on the cross in order to provide for everyone to partake of that eternal life. The manna pointed to the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, the source of eternal life. But the manna also is a picture of something else that I want us to focus in the time that we have left. The manna pictured for us today the Word of God, which points us to Jesus Christ as the bread of life. But the picture that we have of Israel is that in their trip, in their journey through the wilderness, every day they needed something to give them strength for that journey. Our life From the moment that we're saved until the time that we go home to heaven, this is a pilgrimage in this world, and it's a wilderness. And saints, we need, as much as Israel needed manna every day, we need the Word of God. And it is a miraculous provision that we have it. And this is what I want to add, the two things that I want us to focus on. Number one, do we understand the value of the Word of God that's been revealed to us? How important it really is. It's not just to have church. It's in order that we might be all that God would have us to be for time and for eternity. It's the strength, it's the wisdom, it's the guidance that we need to be successful in life. And apart from that life that we get from the Word of God, that strength, that energy, if we do not take it in, if we do not value it, we're going to be spiritually sick. And we're not going to be able to do what God has called us to do. The Word of God is manna. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8 just so we know that the Bible itself tells us what the manna prefigured for us, what it was a type of, so that we're not making things up here. Deuteronomy 8:3. Yes, the people of Israel had a very real physical need. They needed to eat. God provided that for them. But in doing that, God was pointing us to something that is greater than that miracle. And to me, you know, it's hard for me to fathom that daily miracle. For 40 years, it started all of a sudden at the Word of God. It ended all of a sudden at the Word of God. But then to understand, saints, that what God has given me is even a greater miracle than that. Deuteronomy 8 and 3, so he humbled you, God humbled his people, and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why? Why did he do that? Not only to keep them alive, but to teach them a spiritual, eternal lesson, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus himself, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he used this exact passage. When he was physically hungry, Jesus, Satan tempted him and said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus turned to this passage and he says, oh, no, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we're going to be strong and healthy in this pilgrim life of ours, as we travel through the wilderness of life, and saints, it is a wilderness. It's getting more dry all the time. We need this to esteem this miracle. The scriptures are described for us as spiritual fruit, food for the spiritual man. Hebrews 5 and verses 11, 14. We won't turn there, but if you're taking notes, you can notice there that again, the Word of God is specifically described as the spiritual nutrition for the spiritual man. Many of the characteristics of manna are true of the Word of God as well. And I want to look at those as we have time. First of all, the manna that came down from heaven was very small. And I didn't write down the illustration, but I think it's similar to this, that to feed 1 million to 3 million Jews daily for that half a gallon per person, it would take 3 trains with 60 cars apiece loaded with manna to feed that many people. That's a lot of manna. But it was very small. It was delicate. Israel looked at it and they said, what is that? They weren't impressed with the miracle at just its appearance. It wasn't glowing. It wasn't big and showy. It was just this little bitty stuff on the ground. Little, small, round, white. The Word of God for most people is pretty insignificant. Certainly to the world. Sadly to most of God's people. John 6 and verse 63, if you'll turn there with me. Though it was small, the manna sustained the children of Israel for 40 years. It seemed insignificant, and yet there was a power there. to do what God said it would do. The same is true with our manna. The same is true with the Word of God that He has miraculously given us. To me, it saddens my heart when so many Christians do not value the revelation that God has given us. There is no greater treasure in life. How often do we see men run after what the world has to offer and gain it, and yet they're starving to death? Over and over again, we see it in the celebrities and those that the world looks to for fame and fortune, and yet they're dying physically and they're dead spiritually. But John 6 and verse 63 tells us the miracle of the Word of God. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. God didn't have to reveal to us all of the things that He's revealed to us in both the Old and the New Testament. He didn't have to reveal Himself to us, but He did. He gives us this word, a miracle of His love and of His grace. And people look at the Bible as, oh, it's a rule book and a do's and don'ts. And no, it's manna from heaven. We can't afford to ignore it or lightly esteem the need for us to know the Word of God and to obey it. And saints, it doesn't do any good to put the manna in your mouth and chew it a while and spit it out. You have to swallow it. You have to allow it to become a part of you, that you might be transformed by it, that you might benefit. And this is why obedience to the Word of God is essential. Luke 11, verse 28. You want to be happy in life? You need to acknowledge that happiness comes only from eating the manna from heaven. It doesn't come from any other pursuit in life. It doesn't come from your family. It doesn't come from your career. It doesn't come from your church. It doesn't come from any of those things. Luke 11, 28, but He said more than that. Jesus said, blessed are those, happy are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. So simple, and yet so powerful, so miraculous. Blessed and happy, satisfied. Saints, are you enjoying life? I didn't ask you if you had trials, troubles, but are you happy? Are you satisfied? Do you know who you are? Do you know why you're here? Do you know what's prepared for you? How do you know that? If you know it, it's because you've partaken of the manna. It seems so insignificant, but it has the power that God says it has. I do want us to read Numbers 11. If you'll turn there with me, Numbers 11, verses 5 and 6. To me, this is one of the saddest statements made about the people of Israel, and there are a lot of sad statements. There are a lot of glorious ones, but this is one of the saddest. Remember the context of the miracle. Every day for 40 years, minus the Sabbath, and that miracle was taken care of because the sixth day there was enough for the Sabbath. Every day God provided food that they might live and flourish and thrive. Verse 5 of Numbers 11, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, for there is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now, I want us to stop and put that in perspective. How could they be so foolish? How could they be so ungrateful? And yet when I look at God's people today, I see the exact same unbelief. Congregation after congregation have told their preachers, all we hear is the Word of God, the Bible. All you do is read Scripture. All you do is have Bible studies. We're tired of it. But saints, they're words of life, wisdom, joy, peace, a miracle of the love and the grace of God that we have this revelation. The manna was from heaven. It wasn't from this earth. It's set on the dew so as not to be defiled by the earth. It came from heaven, and it was provided with that cushion of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, it's not man's word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This Bible is not man's word. It's from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason we thank God without ceasing. Because you, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Do you respect the authority of the Bible with that it has the same authority as if God was speaking to you audibly? We need to, because that's the authority that it has. In Psalm 138 and verse 2, we're told that God has magnified His word above His name. Wow. That's the value God places on His own word. How can His word be higher than His name? Because if His word cannot be trusted, He is not God. If His word is not true, that was Psalm 138 and verse 2 that we have that revelation if you're taking notes. He's placed His word higher than His own name. And it's simply a way to express that if His word is not faithful, He's not God. But saints, because He is God, His word is trustworthy. It has the same authority as God Himself. Psalm 119 and verse 89, we are told that His word is forever settled in heaven. This is manna from heaven. It's revealed here on earth, but it was made in heaven. Another aspect of the manna that relates to our miracle, the word of God, is that the manna need to be gathered every day. God freely gave it, but it had to be gathered on a daily basis. Interesting that those who gathered much still came out to the half a gallon. Those who gathered little still came out to the portion they needed. When we're faithful to go to the Word of God on a daily basis, which we must do if we're going to be healthy and strong spiritually. If the only time you feed on the Word of God is when you hear a sermon on Sunday morning, you're going to be spiritually sick. If all that you believe about the Word of God is what Brother Doug tells you, you've placed yourself in a very vulnerable position. You need to know the Word of God for yourself. You need to go out and collect the Word of God for your tent, for your household. Sometimes one verse is just what you need for that day. Sometimes it's a whole chapter, or sometimes it's a whole book that the hunger within you cries out to God, and whatever your portion is for that day, you'll find it in the Word of God. But you got to go look for it. You have to take time. It's a glorious, generous miracle, this manna. It's laying on the ground. But you got to go get it. 2 Timothy 2:15, one of our standards around here. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You have to be diligent to study the word of God. The proverb tells us to go out and buy the truth and don't sell it. Now, it was provided free, but it was like going down to the store and picking it up. Go buy the truth. Take advantage of every Bible study. Rather than complaining about them, take advantage of them. Study the Word for yourself, and you'll find out that the Word of God will never lose its power to satisfy you. Brother Harrelson, you tired of Bible studies? You tired of reading the Word of God? It still thrills your heart, doesn't it? He's been eating manna for a long time. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3, leftovers. God said no leftovers. See, Christy, I told you it was a biblical characteristic of mine. When it was fresh, manna was sweet and nutritious. When it was left over, it stank and had worms. I don't think that characteristic is there just to fill up space. I think there's something about this that applies to our spiritual manna, the Word of God. Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 25. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says the soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. I have known saints, and I've known preachers that feel that they reach a certain place of spiritual maturity, that they no longer need to search out the scriptures on a daily basis, that they know everything they need to know. I've known Christians and I've known spiritual leaders that live on yesterday's experiences. Well, God used me to do this. God blessed me then and I enjoyed this blessing, and they'll testify. But as far as daily obedience today, as far as a fresh anointing of the Lord on their life today, it's not there. They no longer take time to daily look into the Word of God to see what it says about their present situation, about their current circumstances. They don't apply the Word of God that they may have applied in times past, but they're not applying it now. And consequently, their ideas, their thoughts, their actions begin to fade further and further from the will of God. Their walk with the Lord becomes undesirable and begins to become rank. I saw this in my pastor, who was truly used of the Lord in many, many ways. But as he got older, I saw that there was a decline, not just physically and mentally, but there wasn't that daily applying of Scripture to his life, and it was sad. And one of the things that I have cried out to God all of my life and all of my years as a pastor and as a preacher, God, may I never grow stale in my walk with you. Lord, I want it fresh. And I've known, and I thank God for the godly testimonies of men and women, and that we have some in this assembly, that till the day the Lord takes them home, it's fresh and new every morning, the goodness of God. I want that for my life. I don't want to just sit back and rest on laurels of past. I want a fresh portion of the Word for today. I want a fresh obedience to the Word of God wherever He leads me. After the sun began to rise, the manna began to melt away. Another interesting detail. You had to get up early and get what you needed while it was there, because it's not always going to be there. There's a time to take in the Word of God, and you know when that time is? It's now. Young people, children, now's the time to take in the Word of God. Don't wait and say, oh, when I graduate, or when I get married, or when I have a family, or when I get old, I'll spend some time reading the Bible and doing what it tells me. But until then, I'm just going to do what feels right and good. There's going to come a time when the Word of God will melt away, your access to it. Brother Freestone in Isaiah spoke about the exhortation to Israel to call upon him while he is near, while he may be found, because he won't always be able to be found. Let's turn to Amos 8 and verse 11, a very clear prophecy. I cannot stress this enough. This life is all about knowing God and His Son. Every day of your life, that's what it's about. Without the Word of God and the revelation of the truth that we've been given in the Word of God, you can't know God and you can't know His Son. You can't know their purposes for you. And so when we say that this manna from heaven is important, it's all important. Only what you have hidden of the Word of God in your life and what you've allowed it to transform your life, your thoughts and your attitudes, your actions, your associations, everything, to allow this Word to transform you, that's the only thing you're going to take from this life. Everything else is going to stay here and get burned up. That's pretty valuable. That's a miracle that's far greater than the miracle of manna. But saints, Jesus is coming. The Bible talks about the brightness of His coming, and that brightness being a judgment for those who rebel against Him. But that brightness is also going to melt away some things. And I believe that the coming of the Lord is so soon that the brightness of the coming of the Lord is already melting away opportunities that people have squandered. Amos 8 and verse 11 said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord." Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, and I believe they're already here, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Saints, I think the melting has already begun. May we not waste the opportunity that we have to take in the bread of life, the Word of God, that gives life, that sustains it, that enables us to enjoy the fullness of life and the fullness of walking in the will of God. We'll close with five little statements that were true about the manna in the wilderness and that I believe that are true of our spiritual manna if we're going to benefit from it. The first one is this. You must realize your need. Israel got hungry. They knew they needed to eat. And at the time when the manna was first given, there was no other source. And they realized it because they were hungry. What I think is the problem with so many of God's people is they're just not hungry enough. I have found over the years that the saints that value and understand their need of the Word of God, it doesn't matter what comes their way. It doesn't matter the obstacles. It doesn't matter the problems. They love the Word of God. And that's enough. That's enough. Too many people are filled up with the things of the world, family, career, pleasure seeking, whatever. But saints, if you're going to benefit from the manna from heaven, you got to be hungry. This is one thing that I continually pray for myself. Lord, I want a greater hunger. I've gone through times when I've been satisfied with other things for a while. But only the Word of God can fill all of my needs. The second thing is, if they were going to collect the manna, they had to go out and they had to stoop down because it was on the ground. Speaks of humility. Are you willing to humble yourself and associate yourself with the Word of God in the society and the world in which we live today? For you to be a genuine, true, Bible-believing Christian, people are going to look at you as if you're nuts. They're going to tell you that you are a detriment to the progress of society. Are you willing to stoop and to say, no, this is what I need? I humbly associate with God and His Word. The third thing is we must gather it for ourselves, as we said earlier, on a daily basis. You can't gather it for your neighbor. In a certain sense, you gather it for your household, those that are in your tent. But at some point, they'll have to gather for themselves as well. You must learn to buy the truth and not sell it. The fourth thing, you must do it early. Take advantage of the opportunities as you have them, because they will be gone. I don't know how many churches I didn't make a list, but I know a number of churches that at one time proclaimed the whole counsel of the Pauline gospel, and they no longer exist. And I've heard people in those communities and those cities complain, oh, I wish we had a church like we used to have. And part of the reason is not there. They let it melt away. Saints, this is serious. Let's collect it early while the opportunity is here. Lastly, we must daily feed. It's not enough one day to say, well, I know that. I know that verse. I memorized that in Sunday school. Are we applying the Word of God to our life? Are we letting it dictate our thoughts today? Not yesterday, but today. So again, I ask ourselves, in closing, you feel like going upstairs? Number one, do we realize how great the miracle of the Word of God really is? Do we understand that it's greater than that daily miracle in the wilderness for the children of Israel? We have been led into the very throne room of the council of the all-wise God. Do you value that? And then the second question is, are we lightly esteeming it to the point that, like Israel, all we've got is this manna? Saints, I rejoice this morning in the miracle of the Word of God. I want it to transform me from glory to glory because I know Jesus is coming. Let's take advantage of every opportunity. Let's stand.